Good morning. I'm going to call the meeting to order. President is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 9:30 agenda item, and it's going to be fiscal year 2027 budget workshop. And this morning, we're going to be getting a presentation from West Valley Humane Society. So also present is representation from City of Caldwell and also representation from the City of Nampa, which I find very helpful and beneficial for these discussions. So with that, I will hand it over to the fine folks from West Valley Humane Society and let them go from there.
Great, thank you. So start off with some introductions. I am Chris Hyde. I'm the board treasurer of West Valley Humane Society.
Okay.
And volunteer there for the last 2 years, and I've adopted several animals from the shelter as well. Over to you, Emily.
My name is Emily Gamble. I'm the current executive director at the shelter. I've been with the shelter 4 years now. I started at the front desk.
Okay.
My name is Eric Skoglund, captain with Nampa Police Department.
Cleverly disguised in civilian clothing, I might.
Yes.
Yes.
Light duty. I had a shoulder surgery.
Oh, wow. Well,
it'll let me put the uniform on yet.
Oh, man.
The Snake River Stampede Western wear today.
Very good. Very good. We appreciate that. All right. So we have our legal here, and Mayor Phillips will be joining us physically here in a little bit. And so he's on a Zoom call. And I think Nick is hopefully connected and hearing us too. Ray Lynn is from Caldwell. She's also connected in. That I need to say anything else. So with that, go ahead and carry on.
Right. Let's see if I can test the technology gods here a bit and get my screen shared.
I can share your screen from here too.
Okay. If I just plug into the
yes.
Great. That'll be easier, yeah. Awesome. Well, I will go ahead and dive into our presentation for this year. So wanted to start out by giving everyone an overview of where we sit today. Just some current numbers about status of the shelter. We have about 300 animals in care right now, 87 dogs. That puts us at about 80% of capacity. We've been riding this year between 60 and 100% of capacity. We have 217 cats right now. It's been a big kitten season. 57 in shelter. That's actually a bit over capacity for us right now. We have a lot of kittens. And one chicken. As far as the financial side of things, we are in the black. For this fiscal year, there's some one-time drivers of that. It's several large one-time non-recurring donations, a bequest, and a couple larger corporate donations. The other piece of this, unfortunately, is that we've had some fairly significant attrition this year and some open vacancies that it's taken us a longer amount of time to fill. Excluding these items, we're running fairly close to break even right now in our operations. Just a small gain, which is roughly where we've targeted to be, is running break even with support from our governmental partners and building our reserves from larger fundraising campaigns and one-time donations. I'll pause there. Any questions on what I've gone over so far? Since the aborted copper quill transition, we've seen adoption revenues and donations recovering more slowly than we anticipated in our kind of interim budget that we put together. After that, there's been some messaging we've had to do in the community to help people understand that we're still there. We also saw a fairly significant fall off leading up to that. As far as balance sheet side of things, shelter sitting at about $320,000 in our cash account as of today, with about $30,000 in liabilities. That represents roughly 75 days of expenses for us. Our longer term target is to be more around 6 months in our reserves. Questions there before I move on? Talking about what's happened in the last year, finances have stabilized primarily with the additional support we've received from our governmental partners. We solidified a partnership with PetSmart that we think will be very good for the shelter in the long term. This involves both financial support from them and some adoption center space in Boise that I'll touch on more later. As Emily mentioned, we filled our executive director role. That's allowing us to focus more on corporate partnerships and other fundraising activities that help improve the financial situation for the shelter. We've outsourced our bookkeeping to a third-party firm. We find that this is already improving quality of our records, and we're doing that at a lower cost than having an internal bookkeeper. As an added bonus, that's actually served out of the U.S., so we didn't even have to go offshore for that. A lot of that is process automation that they bring expertise on. Probably half our invoices right now are being processed automatically, which is a big big benefit for us. One of the things we had difficulty with in the past was timely reporting of how we were spending money at the shelter and understanding just what our liabilities were at any one point in time. We completed a large decluttering and cleaning project at the shelter. If you haven't been out to the shelter in the last 6 months, I'd say come out, have Emily give you a tour. It looks a lot different than it did in January of this year. In partnership with Team Subaru, we have a new van, new to us van at least, to move animals around the valley as we need to take them for medical care or transfer to other organizations. Continued our partnership with the Boise Open. That's a big fundraising and PR activity for us. We've been doing more to support cats in the community as well. As I said earlier, we've got something like 200 cats in our care right now. And we've also been able to increase our partnership with other regional animal rescues. What that means is twofold. One, we're sometimes able to swap animals out where perhaps in another location they can adopt an animal more easily and we can adopt an animal more easily that they have. Also, we've been a net exporter of animals this year. Questions there before I move on?
Chairman, maybe just one. So are you, it sounds like then you've developed a way to track locations for either pickups or where they're coming from. That was one of the questions I think that came up. Do you know what your demographics are and who you're receiving animals from?
Yeah, so we use the Canyon County Web Assessors map for strays coming into us from the public or from animal control. And we reference the nearest cross street to where they were found.
Okay.
And so I've been sending those numbers as needed to whoever asked for them.
Awesome, thank you.
So are you keeping a running database then on locations picked up and all of that? We haven't had that before. That'll be very beneficial.
That's awesome. Thank you.
And that's, you know, one thing I did mention here more broadly is that we've been placing more of an emphasis on our internal reporting as well, be it things like that or tracking metrics about how full the shelter is. And we'll be working to publish more of that on our website as time goes on.
Okay.
Chairman, can I ask another question?
Sure.
So in the leadership structure that's changed, and it's pretty cool that you're able to move from front desk up now to executive director, but there was during that transition some negative marketing that wasn't necessarily an accurate reflection of what was going on. And when you're talking about recovery dollars coming back in slower, are you proactively looking at how to turn that around or provide additional information either through our own public information officers or a press release?
I'm working hard to get us just in the public more and seen more. I think a big part of what we're experiencing right now is the public doesn't, there was that misconception in the middle that there's just no shelter. And so I think a lot of the confusion with the public is that they don't know that we're still there. So a big thing that I'm working on now is creating, we have a lot of events, we're getting out a lot more into the public. I did have a PR release go out. What was the last one for? The last fundraiser, Idaho Gives. Idaho Gives. Things like that are definitely helping. But yeah, so we're working on getting, recreating all of those connections, and I think that's slowly getting there. It's just something to build on.
I do think, you know, as part of this process and the budget renewal, any way that we could partner on, you know, communicating through our government partners to the public would certainly be helpful in getting that message out to the broader community.
Yep.
Man, for that's right behind you.
Awesome.
And I would say too, Chairman, that if there's a way to partner with some of the, well, I'm specifically thinking of one that I don't necessarily want to call out on the public record, but to have maybe more information provided so he's a more informed user of information, I think those spotlights were significantly detrimental to the future of Canyon County's animal shelter based on information that simply wasn't accurate. So it's good information to hear that you do have a CAP program that we continue to hear is a problem, and it's unfortunate. We just take the drop-offs that are done at our farm, but people don't know what to do with the animals. And then another question, is there a low-cost spay and neuter program that's coming? Is that later in your presentation or?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we're working towards. Our major constraint, and I'll touch on this in a little more detail, is hiring a full-time vet and having consistent veterinary staffing at the shelter. That's really our single largest blocker is having that additional bandwidth to get those animals vetted versus just being able to handle the animals that we have in the shelter.
Yeah, Chairman, follow up.
Okay, but we need to hear his budget presentation first before we hear all of the intricacies of the operation.
I can hold my question.
Perfect.
I think we've touched on a number of these items, so I will go ahead and skip forward. The only thing I would say there is that we're definitely seeing with the world situation this year, a lot of costs being passed through to us quickly by veterinary providers in particular. So medicines have gone up significantly in price. So looking ahead, mentioned PetSmart earlier, just something I'll highlight here. That will in 2027 calendar year give us incremental space for about 30 animals. Space has been an issue for us the last 2 years, and in addition to them providing us financial support to be there, that lets us increase the number of animals that we can house. Restarting our volunteer program, as we mentioned, working towards having community cats. We have some ordinance updates that will help us both budgetarily and in terms of animal welfare that we've been talking with governmental partners about. Another item that would like to begin thinking more about with this group is some longer term planning for the facility itself, so that we're just as far as the physical plant, the building itself is 25 years old. We're consistently up against space. This isn't a tomorrow thing. This is a let's look out 5-10 years and start to think about that a bit out of the scope today, but something that I just wanted to put out there to the broader group that I think we should start to consider. So any questions before I dive into the key changes in the budget?
I guess not. Let's go ahead.
Okay. So our governmental support incremental request is about $50,000 for this year. That's roughly a 5% increase, broken down per rata based on the current contributions. We are planning a more significant increase in that in expenses. Some of this, compared to the last budget we shared, transition, is just due to the salary figures and that not being annualized, where we had a couple incremental positions that were added and some long overdue merit increases for staff salary that weren't factored in. But bulk of that is going to staff wages and support. Basically, that is sustaining the previous budget, ensuring we have the ability to recruit and retain a full-time vet. We've had that position posted for several months. It's what I would say is probably at the lower end of the market for that position. We're not in a hurry to overpay for a vet, but it's a very competitive environment. What we're hearing is that, recruiting cycles can take 6 months to a year, even for for-profit vets that can pay a higher wage rate to find a vet that works for them. There is one incremental staff there to support that adoption center as well, and then ensuring that we're able to retain the staff that we have through merit increases and market adjustments. That's one of the biggest things that I think we've learned in the last year is that having experienced staff in the shelter matters often more than the number of people that we have. Obviously, we can't run forever with a skeleton crew, but by retaining the people we have, investing in them, having consistency in who can handle animals in the shelter, we've been able to operate with lower headcount than I think we would have expected a year ago. Any questions there before I move on? Next major category is our clinic expenses, and this is one that is kind of a case of offsets in our budget. We have seen, as I mentioned earlier, veterinary supply costs increasing significantly. Part of that is state of the world right now. Part of that in our scenario for the budget is also just expansion of services and delivering more to the community, getting things like community spay-neuter restarted. These costs, though, within clinic expenses will be offset to some degree by a reduction in outside veterinary services. So when we send an animal to one of our local veterinary partners for something we can't handle internally, that currently runs into this line item that is at an elevated level right now. Just to paint the picture of what veterinary support looks like in the shelter right now, we use a lot of day rate vets right now, people that are retired or are looking to earn a little bit of extra income. They will come in as their schedule allows and do spay and neuters for 6-8 hours, do vet checks, do other things, but we don't have a vet in the shelter consistently Monday through Friday. It may be that 1 week we have a vet for 1 day, another week we have a vet on site for 3 days, and the staff's been making that work to handle the animals that are coming in right now, but that's something that's difficult to sustain in the long run and to add to our programming. Any questions on that?
No.
Other costs, really this is everything else. Going towards retaining staff and developing our staff, we are looking to increase our staff training budget significantly. That's an area where we've underinvested in the last 2 years. This is also part of retaining that position, is that there's a more significant need for continuing education in that role that we'll need to support. Other things, we're seeing some fairly significant increases in insurance, our liability insurance, workers' comp, et cetera, are all going up. Credit card fees. I think we have seen a shift towards more folks paying with credit cards at time of checkout, and that's driving that increase. And the rest is kind of a grab bag of items, utilities and other things that generally relate to inflation and our adoption volume through the shelter. Questions there?
Credit card fees. I think my question is maybe work with the comptroller. We have credit cards all over in our operations. See if there's either a add-on that we could maybe help with you, or you could utilize one of the companies that we're utilizing. It's the wild, wild west out there, and you can end up paying ungodly fees. We've been caught, and we've been doing it for a long time, and we had one situation where we ended up providing them with $38,000 that they didn't work for or deserve, and so they did it once to us, and they're never going to do it to us again. But so what I'm saying is check in with us and see if we can help you in any way with credit card fees, either through us or helping you with one of our companies that we're contracted with, and see if there's some help.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate that. And we do offer the chance at checkout today for people who are adopting to cover the credit card fees of the adoption itself. That's kind of a mixed bag on whether or not people take us up on that. But yeah, agree that that's a good place for us to look for some opportunity, because I've run into the same thing in my professional life.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask you a question. Sure. On the 130,000 increase of 7.5% compared to prior budget, can you explain again what's driving that 7.5% the most?
A significant portion of it is people that were in roles for part of the year in the previous budget cycle that will be in for the full year. So that's our director position and a backfill there, and a couple other incremental positions that we're hiring falls into that category as well. Other pieces are sort of a standard cost of living adjustment we have planned for our staff, and then a couple positions that haven't seen pay raises in at least 2 years now.
What's the cost of living adjustment that you're looking at for your staff?
3% is our rep target.
Go to his laptop.
Thank you. So one other thing that wanted to raise and explore if it's a possibility is the annual maintenance fund of the building. We're certainly not looking to take those funds out of the county's control. I think there had been an ask for that in the past of, distribution of unused funds a year and to us as an organization. That's not an ask that we're making going forward. But what we did want to explore or consider with that in the future is whether those funds could be held for future investment in the facility itself, whether that's larger scale renovations, unexpected costs, or the like. Recognize that's something that may take some time to work through, but really our objective is to avoid those unexpected surprises, which in a 25-year-old building, I think we've had several of those in the last year, whether it's a HVAC system issue or an irrigation leak or other semi-permanent fixtures in the building just not working as expected.
Chairman, do you have plans or have you contemplated expanding the size of the building, or are you just talking about a reserve for the maintenance issues? Because I think that our facilities is responsive to the needs that you have out there. So I guess I'm looking at a superficial level if that's what you're contemplating.
We've had a great partnership this year with county maintenance, and there certainly are no immediate complaints. It's more just looking at primarily renovation. I don't think there's really much space to expand the footprint of the building on that site. That's part of why we've been looking for alternative space and have pursued that. An increased probability of unexpected things or larger things that may exceed that.
Sure.
in any one given year, just by the age of the building and by the nature of some of the chemicals we have to use to keep the building clean. We have doors that are rusting and they're still functional. They don't look great at the moment, but those aren't cheap to replace. And if we start doing that in a year and then suddenly have a major HVAC issue or something else that's large and unexpected, we just want to ensure that we're in a position to absorb that effectively in partnership with the county.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think that forethought in planning for the rainy day is what we hope to do across the county with assets that are larger in nature like that. So thanks for the additional information.
So that's that is our presentation at an overview level. We do have kind of the line-by-line budget available if we wanted to take time and go through that. Maybe a bit granular for this forum, but I'm certainly glad to do it if there's a desire from the commissioners.
Chairman, I have a question that I was asked to hold to the end, so if I could ask that now.
What is it?
The question that you asked me to hold till the end of his presentation.
All right.
I guess I was under the impression that Copper Quill, Dr. Stanley, was providing veterinary services, but that's not at all. You are doing just independent contract agreements with different veterinarians across the county?
Dr. Stanley has helped us some in the last few months. I think we've relied more on other veterinarians in the community of late. You know, certainly we're in a position where if we can find a vet that will come in and do vet checks or spay neuter or other services for a day, we're very open to that right now.
Okay, and then one last question, and then Chairman, I'm going to exit this meeting here in a couple minutes, but was there any further contemplation given to partnering with the University of Idaho potentially for interns that want to be veterinarian students? Was there any interest generated from having a work or even partnership from a teaching perspective?
In order to do so, we would love to do that. That's definitely something we're open to. In order to do that, we have to have a full-time vet hired and on staff. So that's one of those things that kind of hinges, again, on having a full-time vet. We have had applicants, in fact, that are in that similar situation where they're finishing up school. But they have to have a veterinarian present that is fully licensed and fully finished with their schooling in order for us to do that. So it's something that we have on the plate. Just can't do it until we have a full-time vet.
No, I appreciate that. And with CWI's interest in expanding some of their agriculturally based programs, I know they're focused on equine because of the location, but maybe some of that additional, you know, there's contact information available where you could potentially enlist the University of Idaho's help in getting a veterinarian on site. So thank you for being open to that. I think it's a great opportunity, particularly with the exodus of the Cade Center. So,
yeah, we would welcome any opportunity to partner in finding that vet. That's one of our top priorities right now, and we've been actively reaching out across a broad number of networks in addition to, you know, just the standard job board postings. It's just proving to be a very difficult hiring environment at the moment.
It's very competitive, and it's expensive for students to go through that educational process. So, but thank you for the good information.
You are going to leave with us your granular, as you call it, budget line item issue. Are you able to do that for us? Have you seen it yet, Con?
I have not. It could be attached. So I just haven't. Oh, it is an attachment. Okay.
So it starts on page 11 of the attachment.
Okay. Thank you.
There we go. It's on the calendar.
It's on the calendar. Perfect. Thank you.
See you.
Well, I'll just say from where we were 3 years ago to now, it's completely unrecognizable in a good way.
Yes.
So I wholeheartedly appreciate what you guys have done and the effort and the work that you've put in. I've heard nothing but good things about what you're doing over there. So thank you very much.
Yeah. We're very grateful.
Yeah.
Mayor?
Thank you, Commissioner. I just want to concur with that. I had a chance to tour the facility. It was wonderful. Been quite a few years since I've been there, but it's clean, professional, staff are friendly. Besides the dogs, probably wanting to get adopted, and cats. It's a great opportunity to see what they're doing there. So I truly appreciate this, you know, from our government, right, from the city of Caldwell and our partnership. I was really impressed with what I saw. So thank you for what you guys are doing, how you turn it around.
So I think what we're prepared to do is take this in under advisement. When we go through it, we may end up with additional questions or discussion, and so it's a possibility that we'll call you back for round two just for clarification and a little bit of back and forth bantering and figuring what we want to do. The two other municipalities and the county has met a couple times before this, just trying to do a 911. What are we going to do and how can we be prepared? And so this is a refreshing turn to have this kind of information and this kind of granular data, And so we'll take hold of it, go through it, and talk with our partners, Caldwell and Napa, and see where we come up. And well, I would anticipate, unless one of you two think differently, I guess two has already left. We'll do a round two just for clarification.
Yeah. That sounds great, and I certainly want to say that we, you know, appreciate the additional support from our governmental partners in the last year. That's been just unbelievably crucial in stabilizing operations, and you know, we always welcome things like your suggestion on credit card fees. Like, we, you know, at the end of the day, we're there to you know, ensure the best standard of care for animals and to support animal welfare in the community. And, you know, any way we can get there is a good way in partnership. So we welcome that opportunity for discussion and for constructive feedback.
Okay. Mr. Chairman. Yes, sir.
I think the captain has
something. Yes, Captain.
Yeah. Thank you. Chairman Holton and Commissioner Brooks, the question that Commissioner Van Beek had brought up earlier about intake numbers, I have reached out the last couple of months just to get monthly numbers from Emily, and I will echo to what you said about the shelter being how it's being run. I'm very happy with the way Emily's been doing things, our interactions. They've just been. She's been very responsive and very helpful, and I get nothing but good feedback from my staff working with her too. So you're doing a great job there. Just want to say that. So the numbers have reflected the last two months, because we started in April. Kind of, I know they kind of slid back in and had to make some adjustments at the early part of the year. So starting in April, I've been getting the monthly numbers. So just for April and May. Caldwell's been the number one intake at 78, and I want to make sure I get the months right here. So 78 cats and dogs combined during the month of May, and 111 during the month of April, and Napa was at 51 and 70 those 2 months. Second place and third place, and Canyon County, second place and third place those 2 months. So when I bring that up, because I know I've made this suggestion, sent a letter to each of your respective bodies to express an interest in a more equitable sharing of cost than what is being proposed. What I saw in the document that's been provided to you for cost for Napa this next year, it's going to go up by $24,000 to $504,000. The overall cost between the three agencies was $1,040,000, and Napa is close to bearing half of that cost and not the number one user of the shelter service. So I know that, I don't want to speak out of turn for my leadership, but I know they're going to look at that as subsidizing other people's costs. So so that's why I propose something a little more equitable in terms of that, whether that's a three-way even across the board. If you take that $1,040,000 and divide that three ways, that's $346,687 per body, so county, Caldwell, Napa. I can't say Napa would commit to that because I can't speak for my my council members, but that is something I'm willing to take back to them to present to them. I know in prior conversations and emails with I see Nick online and with the leadership of the shelter, I've the initial. When I first asked, you know, what do they expect cost to be, they ballparked 5% roughly. And I said that my leadership is going to question why 5%, why not 2%, 3%, what is it, 5? So I appreciate the documentation that they've shown the areas that they're showing cost increasing, getting granular, as Chris said, is definitely what my leadership is going to want to see, and I think he's providing that, so that's very helpful. But I think the 504,000, I will tell you, I know I'm going to get resistance from that from my leadership and from my council members, because that, but they're going to look at the usage, and that's why I'm tracking the usage numbers. And so I put that out there just publicly here, so that if there's any conversation to be had on that, I'm happy to have it. But I think too, what's very important is that the community know the partnership that we're engaged in here. This is very productive, and I want to thank the Board of Commissioners for putting this together, inviting us all to it, knowing that the partnerships are important and having engagement in that, because a single shelter for the county makes the most sense for the taxpayer, all of our taxpayers, because I think they get the most bang for the buck for that. And I think also too, showing that partnership to the community in terms of how it impacts the revenues that come in from donors, and seeing that that support, that foundation of government support for this organization, it gives public confidence that the organization is going to be around, that that donors, when they invest their money into something, it's a lasting something. And so I do think that, you know, that it is important to have these discussions and work through them and broadcast that to the public, so that they know what the commitment levels are from each entity, and that this is a solid partnership. So I just wanted to express that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for putting that on the record. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Yes.
I have a quick follow-up.
Sure.
Chairman, Commissioners, if I remember correctly, backing up, you guys are running which I would love the three-way, obviously, and I know there's dynamics, but was it before that you guys were running one animal control person right now, or did you get the second one?
Yeah, we have two positions. We have one in training, and one full-time. Yeah.
Obviously, we know if we are clearly bringing more in, like, that's not lost on us, and I'm not disputing that. I'd just be curious if we continue the analytics as far as tracking, and it is good to see. I mean, the public should know, we should know, and, you know, we're 100% on board with contributing to this. Obviously, you know, being conscious of taxpayer dollars, we're all in the same boat, so we do look forward to the partnership and continuing that. As now, we are running two right now, so it'll be just be curious to see what that looks like over time. But yeah, we're budgeted for the third, and we'd hope, you know, your council would be willing to continue in that cost share. That'd be helpful.
Okay. Well, like I said earlier, there's some meetings going on before this next workshop with West Valley, and then we'll come back with a little bit better position of where we're at. The councils will at least be notified of where we're at this stage, and working towards our budget. So we appreciate you here, and we'll notify you. We'll probably have questions in between before we come back on round two.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. I would make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's consider ourselves adjourned. Thank you.